You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee Church, visit vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now here's this week's message.
Hi, my name is Dave. It's good to see you, everybody. Good morning. Hey, I just want to, there's one more announcement that didn't make the announcement list. Is we're trying to finish our projects that we've started here. Like, you notice we're starting to, for those of you who are new, we run an art studio. We're in the process of getting that room done. And then for our value ministry to the poor, like where we're going to store a lot of these things are going to be in that room over there. And so we had to clean all that out and do a lot of different things. So, and Chad has been like putting in like crazy hours after work and getting stuff done. And he needs some help this Tuesday at 6. At 6 o'clock, if you could come here, just help cleaning. Those two rooms out, and then he's actually going to paint that other room, and we're going to lay carpet down in the storage room. It's going to be really nice, but we could really use some help. So if you're not doing anything Tuesday at 6, come on down and give him a hand. And then Wednesday is going to be a great event. I'm sorry we letting you know that last minute, but that was sort of a last minute thing that we found out that we could participate in. So we didn't want to let that pass us by. So if you can be part of that Wednesday thing too, that would be absolutely awesome. All right, cool. All right, one cool. One person says cool. All right, good. Okay, glad that sunk in. All right. So, welcome everybody. Is everyone surviving the holidays? Did we make it through Thanksgiving okay? Any major crises get by? Tension building? You know, we get to this sort of this season, and we're celebrating Advent, and you know, we're contemplating the arrival of Jesus during this time. And I think oftentimes we get stuck in Thanksgiving and Christmas in this sort of season, and there's like all of this personal tension that builds up, this panic, anxiety, fear. Anybody? Does that relate to anybody? No? I'm the only one? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like there's a lot going on. It gets super stressful. I mean, how many parties have you been to already? Is it only one? Me too. Someone needs to invite me to some stuff. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of dynamics trying to get together and things like that. There's shopping. Oh, I hate shopping. I have this huge fear. We went to Menards. Now, you have to understand, I don't like Menards. There's something about buying your macaroni and cheese next to your drill bits and then, like, you get a coat all like in one aisle, and I can never find what I want, and it overwhelms me on a regular day going in there. And I had an experience recently where I had to go to Menards against my will, and it happened to be on the day that I never go out and shop. Like never, ever. Can you guess what day that is? It's Black Friday, right? I never leave the house on Black Friday. Like, I make it, my life goal is to make sure that I do not go outside on Black Friday. But we were, like, looking for a tree for the church, and, like, you know, we're going to go, and I thought it would be just real quick, and went with my family, and it was stressful. I literally felt, like, anxiety. I can't tell you, like, there's something wrong with me. I'm telling you, I'm confessing right now. I walk into Menards and I am having like a panic attack, and I'm pushing Abigail, and there's a cart involved, and Ben and his buddy Andre are there, and then I turn around and Rebecca's gone, and I'm like, oh, where do I go? I'm the lost child in Menards. I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. I feel like the blood get hot in me, right? I'm starting to breathe heavy. I'm starting to just calm down. I can find the exit. And then I'm like, I don't even care where Rebecca is. And I'm just like, we gotta get out of here. And there's people everywhere. And I don't have a problem with people, but something about shopping, like it brings fear in me. And finally Rebecca comes and she goes, this isn't gonna work. I'm like, great, let's go. I'm out of the car. And then we gotta go to one more. I go, I'm gonna wait in the car. I'll just wait in the car. But there's like this massive anxiety and fear that comes sometimes with these holidays. And sometimes it's around all different types of things. Sometimes it's around family, friends, maybe stuff in the past, whatever it may be. There's typically stuff that gets bubbled up during this time. And if you're an extremely healthy person and you think, I don't know what he is talking about, like, I have it all together, right? There may be one of you in here. And for you, just like go on your Facebook feed, will you? Like, you go on your Facebook feed and you see all the stuff that's going on, all this tragedy that's going on. We have shootings in schools happening. We have border issues with immigrants and refugees. We have children in cells being taken away from their families during this Christmas holiday. Like, there is serious things that are systematic problems happening in our world. So if you came for encouragement today, so far I've given you none. Right? I mean, there's a lot of problems to worry about and to have fear about. And in the midst of all of this, somehow, we're supposed to think about peace. Right? We're supposed to think about peace. I wonder what you imagine when you imagine peace. Like, when I say all those things and I say God would want peace, God's heart that he would want you to experience peace, how do you imagine that happening? Like, in real time, how do you imagine that happening? God's peace entering into your world. We come into Christmas and we have to have this really strange pronouncement from an angel to the shepherds in this heavenly host of angels. And they say this ridiculous thing. They're speaking to the shepherds and they say this. They said, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, heaven on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. I mean, this is not an idealistic world to be born into at that time, right? Jesus is born into a refugee family. There's political oppression all around. There is occupation and economic disparity. There's racial tension throughout the nation. There is violence. This is not the, like, ideal time to go, okay, I think I'm going to send my son to earth now, right? And can you imagine Mary in all of this? Just that story on how that unfolds. We're going to look at Luke 1:26-38. And if you can see the screen, you can look there. I'm going to cheat and use my phone because I forgot to print it in my notes. So give me a second here. So Luke chapter 1:26-28 says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was gently troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. The angel then left her. Talk about your world being turned upside down, right? I mean, unwed, pregnant. Oh, by the way, like, with the Son of God, you know, no pressure or anything. Like, yeah. And you're like this kid, right? The ramifications are, like, unreal. The whole situation. Like, how can you not be, like, totally afraid right now? Like, freaking out. But then, like, God's going to bring peace in that. Like, what does that look like? What does peace really mean? There's a few things in the Bible that talk about peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Jesus goes on to say, he says, "You know the kind of peace I give is not the way other people talk about peace. I give you a different kind of peace." He's saying, "I want to give you my peace." Paul says in his letters, he says, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God." And then he goes on in Romans 14 and says, "It is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." He says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So there you go. There it is, church. Like, okay, so when I say church, that's you. It's not a building, right? Church is people. Like, church, you're peacemakers. That's your calling. You're to be peacemakers. So do you have any idea what a peacemaker is? You're the church. That's your commission to do as Jesus told you to do. Do you have any idea what you would do as a peacemaker? What does it mean to be a peacemaker? How do we go about doing that? Personally, for ourselves, and then also in the sort of chaotic world that we live in, how do we become peacemakers? We may have to first look and figure out what peace really means that we're talking about. Like, everything is context dependent. We have to think, what is Jesus talking about when he says peace? See, peace, we often define peace as the absence of conflict, right? When we say, when we're not at war, we're at peace, right? And it's just, there's not a fight going on, right? So as like a parent, when my two boys are fighting upstairs, and I'm like, I just want peace in the house. What I'm really saying is, would you all just shut up? Like, there's a conflict here and I need peace and quiet. Like, knock it off. I'm like freaking out, right? I want peace. I literally just had this sort of a awakening for myself. You know, we're always talking about in church, if you're new here, we're constantly talking about, we actually want to practice this. We want to actually transform ourselves from the inside out. So when we sit here and we talk, we're not just talking about God. We're actually hoping that God comes in and actually changes us, like real change happens. And so it's not just us as a community doing. We, as your pastor, I'm also in that process of transformation. And so I'm right there with everybody else. And I'm learning that sometimes my definition of peace is not quite working in my household. When things happen, what I find is that I'm trying to create peace by getting louder, right? And for some unknown reason, I don't understand why, but it's not working. Like, I'll say, "Stop it," and then someone says something back louder than I did, and then I gotta say it louder, and there's this, it was really foreign to me. Like, all of a sudden, it's like a shouting match, and like, nobody's peaceful. It's like chaotic in the house. And I realized that my way of bringing peace is not working. And so I had to do a little transformational work and say, why am I acting the way that I am? When my real desire is peace, the sort of the definition of absence of conflict. But I'm creating more conflict by the way that I'm speaking. Have you ever when you were a kid, you ever feel like you might have been a peacemaker in your family? Anybody played that role? Yeah. I was a peacemaker in my family too. Like, there would be chaos happening all around, and I'm just trying to manage everybody, making sure everybody's doing okay, right? And mom's got what she needs so she can be calm. Dad's got what he needs so he can be calm. Brothers, like, just trying to manage everyone, all the situation. And really, you're not really peaceful. Like, you're a mess inside. Because you're trying to get everything out here on the surface, trying to keep everything from bubbling up and blowing up. But really what's happening internally, like, you're a disaster too. It's not real peace. That's not real peace. Peace in the scripture is a power, not power by yelling, right? That I gave the example of. But it's a force that reconciles and remakes everything. Peace is strength and authority that resides with people by his presence that initiated us and calls us into a different kind of life, that we are to be remaking and reshaping the entire world. Have you ever heard the word shalom, or the shalom of God? Sorry. That was strange. Okay. I don't think that was it, but it's a really powerful word. It can make phones ring, apparently. It's a very robust word. And Isaiah 54 gives us a great picture of the word shalom. Shalom in the scriptures. It says this. It says, I will make your towers out of sparkling rubies and your gates and your walls out of shining gems. I will teach your citizens and their peace. Shalom will be great. So shalom in the scriptures, it's not just peace. It's not just an absence of conflict. There's a physical component to shalom. It's a deep, robust word. It means our bodies are restored and made new. Our minds are at rest. Psychologically, we are settled. Our emotionals are put back together, right? And when Jesus sees the chaos around you and in you, he steps into the room and he says, peace be with you, shalom. And it's such a deeper meaning. It's like this tapestry of a word that like is like fabric that's interwoven together. And he brings peace. He brings his shalom into everything. Now, during this Advent season, we're sort of doing a sort of different sort of twist with our messages. And Rebecca started last week. We decided that we were going to not only talk about, you know, peace, joy, and go through the whole thing, but we're also going to do a little practice, a little exercise, a little opportunity to use our imagination. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to lead you just through an imagination exercise. Because I actually think that God actually speaks to you when you use your imagination. He created it, right? He created imagination. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, actually, Mark, if you would turn the lights off. We did this last week, and I was supposed to prep you before I did it. So if you're new, sorry. So here's what we're going to do. And I asked Greg to come up and play the guitar a little bit. I'm going to read to you a passage from the gospel. And what I'd like to do is I just want you to just sort of, I'm going to read it three times. And the first time, I'm just going to ask you to just sit quietly and listen. No prompt, just listen to the story as it unfolds. And then we're just going to wait a minute and we're just going to sit in that for a little bit. And then I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to read the story again. And just let it sit. Then I'm going to pause again and ask another question and read it one more time. But this first reading, I just want you to pay attention to what may shimmer for you, what may sparkle that stands out in the story. Just pay attention to that. Sound good? So I'm just going to get real, we're going to get real quiet and close your eyes. Get comfortable. And we're just going to ask Holy Spirit that you just come. You just meet us here. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Before I read it the second time, keep your eyes closed. What are some of the storms you may be facing right now? Or the anxiety that you're facing that's coming? As I read it the second time, contemplate on the storms. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then the teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. As I read it the third time, I want you to pay attention to what Jesus does to your storm. Pay attention to what he's doing and what he's saying. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then the teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up. He rebuked the winds and the waves. And it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." As we come back, just slowly open your eyes. And I really feel like God wants to do a few things. As we move into this time of ministry where we spend time to sing and pray together, I really feel like there are some of you who are in storms right now. And maybe you got a picture of what that shalom can look like in that storm. And there's some of you that you know a storm is coming. You sense it. It's around holidays. It's the time of year. For some of you, it's a repeating thing. It's a seasonal thing, maybe. And I really feel like God wants to actually bring a shalom to you as well. And so what we'd love to do, if you're experiencing some of that, during worship, we're going to have a few people in the back that would just love to pray for you. Just real simply, just invite Jesus' peace into that storm. And then there was a third thing. I didn't really mention it in the exercise, but the first part of the story is basically two people sort of contemplating, like, I'm going to follow this guy, I think. Like I'm going through this process, like saying, "I'll follow you anywhere." And Jesus has some responses to that. They're stepping out. They're making a decision to say, "I am going to follow Jesus." And for some of you, maybe you've never done that before. You're like, I want this peace. I want this inner peace. I want this peace that not only transforms my environment, but also within myself, right? But I've never tried this thing, Jesus, before. And I want to do that. And if you want to do that, like, that's awesome. We're super excited about that. And I would invite you to also, during worship, to come in the back and just pray with someone about that. Ask some questions. How do I do that? You know, where do I start? And we have people in the back that would love to just walk you through that, a life with Jesus. True shalom. right? Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Again, we're going to worship. We're going to keep responding and engaging what God is doing. And we do that through singing. We don't just sing about God. We sing actually to him. We engage him in the song. And then I can't emphasize enough about taking the time to pray. If maybe one of those three things didn't resonate with you, you have something else going on, like get prayer for that too. It's really, really good. It's really important. The other way that we continue to engage God is we have an open communion table. If you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to get the elements in the back, and then you can bring them back to your seat and take them as you see please throughout the worship set. And we just want to invite you to continue to engage what God is doing. Sound good, church? All right.